The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. Second half of the program. First half, a lot of conversation about Jeremy Pruitt and his future in Knoxville. We had John Adams on. We also will talk later with Jackie Sherrill, the legendary Mississippi State and Texas A&M coach. Ron is up next in Oakland. You're on the air. Hey, Ron.
Good afternoon, Paul. Happy holidays. I'm thinking of all the hires of Nick Saban, former assistants, and, you know, I'm going to put Lane Kiffin to the side because I really consider him as a Pete Carroll understudy first. But McElwain, Muschamp, Kirby Smart, Jeremy Pruitt, and Jimbo Fisher, what you don't see other than Jimbo Fisher in the last 10 years is quarterback development, because neither of them have experience developing the quarterback. So if you're looking at the issues, if you're going to hire a coach who's never been a head coach before, who's just known to be a good assistant at recruiting, then you're going to have to build the program slower. And I don't understand all the heat about Pruitt, honestly. You hired him knowing that you couldn't hire anyone better, and when you tried to, you fired the man that was trying to bring you better coaches. Mike Leach would have been a great hire. I thought that was a hell of a hire when we heard the news. We did laugh about, you know, the coach from Ohio State getting it that's at Rutgers now. But if you're going to do it, it's up to the AD now to sit down with Pruitt and figure out, hey, how are we going to get the quarterback developed better here? Because it looks like on the offensive staff, it's not doing that. And that's where you got to go from this point. You don't just fire the man. You got to fix the issues first. Give him a chance to rebuild the program. I mean, he's doing a good job so far. They're getting better. You're starting to see improvements. But people have to realize that 2007, the last time Tennessee actually looked decent, that's a long time ago. So you got to have patience with that, Paul. And I got to say something about the playoff rankings that's going to drop off tonight.
Sure.
Heather Dinich, I hope she doesn't have any kind of influence, because if so, Cincinnati's going to be a top four team, right? Because she says that Cincinnati's record is more impressive than the Florida Gators, which their best opponent doesn't even have more talent than Vanderbilt. And, you know, the funny thing about that is the playoff rankings is Ohio State won 3 or 4 games, and Indiana was ranked ninth at 4-0. If you look at the composite rankings of per roster, Indiana is one step above Vanderbilt in total talent, Paul. The worst team in the SEC in talent, Paul, is slightly just as good as the best team Ohio State is going to play, Paul, and we're going to give Ohio State a top four ranking for nothing? I want to hear that argument, and you have yourself a great day.
Ron, it's always good to hear from you. Shady is up next. Hey, Shady, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Hold on just a second. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Shady, we hear you loud and clear.
Okay, I'll just have a couple of comments. Actually, before y'all started talking about it today, a couple of weeks ago when they first started talking about Hugh Freeze coming back to Power 5, I decided that Tennessee would be the perfect place for him. And I have 3 reasons for that. It would automatically make Tennessee legitimate, and Florida and Mullen and Saban and Alabama would still have to deal with him every year.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of excitement about Hugh Freeze, but there's also some criticism. But, hey, I don't know. I mean, I don't think Tennessee's going to make a change, so that may be a moot point. Doug is up next in South Carolina. Doug, thanks. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul?
Doug, we're doing well.
Well, I got 3 little statements to make. As far as Notre Dame versus Clemson, there's a lot of football left to be played. Clemson's got Pitt coming to Death Valley. And Pitt's playing pretty good ball now. And they beat Clemson a couple of years ago, so our Tigers better be ready to play ball.
Hey, by the way, does anyone realize Notre Dame? I mean, I know you're about to say Notre Dame goes to North Carolina this week. That's a very tough game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say next. And we just barely got out of there last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the other thing, I need somebody to answer me this. South Carolina's hired some good coaches. And for some reason, these guys don't do well down there. With the exception of Steve Spurrier and Joe Morrison, they've had some good coaches that just didn't fare well there. Lou Holtz won a national championship at Notre Dame and turned right around and went to South Carolina, and they run him off. I don't understand what it is about that program down there that when they get a good coach, they can't make it go. There's something in the works down there. Bad karma or whatever. What do you think?
Well, they call it the chicken curse, Doug. I have heard that a few times when I've been to Columbia. But that goes way back. I don't know. You're right. I mean, Spurrier had, if you look at Spurrier's, what years were they? 10, 11, and 12? Those were brilliant. I mean, he was in the three straight top 10 finishes. 13
was
good, too.
He had some good recruits.
Yeah, well, he did. I mean, he mined that area very well. I mean, he got Jadeveon Clowney and Stephon Gilmore, Marcus Lattimore. I think recruiting is the base of it. I mean, there are enough good players in South Carolina, Georgia, that area where South Carolina should have no problems recruiting at all.
I'm going to tell you something, Paul. I've been in South Carolina all my life, and I've been a Clemson fan, but I follow South Carolina football. They've had some real humdinger recruits go through there. And then those guys didn't pan out too good. Like, Lou Holtz recruited a guy named Watson, Derek Watson. Mm-hmm. And they called him Squeaky. And he was supposed to be a great player. And he just washed out.
Well, listen, I think that happens to everyone. I appreciate the call very, very much. Let's check in with Mike in College Station. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul, what's going on?
We're doing great. Thank you for the call.
I just want to know, why does the national media just give A&M no respect? We're number five. We lost all kinds of cornerbacks because of COVID, because when we played Alabama, our main linebacker opted out because COVID. We had a bunch of freshmen playing that first game, big game, whatever. We lost to them. I guarantee you, I would put a week's paycheck if we played Alabama again, we'd beat them. We're finally catching on with Jimbo Fisher's program.
Hey, Mike. I don't want to bet high stakes money here, but I want you to explain that a little bit. I think A&M is a really good team. Played great down the stretch, but you think you would beat Alabama if you met them again?
I really do believe that. I think Kellen Mond, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, he's a good quarterback. And our defense is outstanding, I believe. And you're going to see it Saturday. We're going to just chomp down on some Tigers. And I'm an Aggie grad. I'm number 29 in my family. And I'm the first one to say that this is one of the first things that I actually believe in. I've been going to A&M games for 44 years, and I really, really do believe that if we got into the top four, I think we could beat Ohio State. Ohio State, the Big Ten don't play anybody. It's just like the caller a couple times ago. The Big Ten is, I hate to say it, garbage. They come to SEC, they're Vanderbilt. They're Kentucky.
Mike, first of all, I know what the schedule is right now. It's the only schedule Ohio State can play. Ohio State was supposed to go to Oregon week two of the season. That is not exactly a garbage game. Ohio State plays everyone. They played Oklahoma a couple of years ago. They played Texas. That, I mean, Ohio State does not run from any, I mean, I think you're dead wrong about that.
I see where you're going. It's just my opinion. And I just really, I don't see the national hype that Alabama gets every year, that Ohio State, that Notre Dame. And
Mike, hold on a second. You don't see the hype that Alabama gets every year?
I think Notre Dame is the best team.
Okay.
They really did. Even though a backup quarterback with Clemson, they really proved something to me. I lost $150. I took Clemson with the backup, and I looked like a fool because Notre Dame normally doesn't play. They're just like A&M. They don't play big or good in the big games. And they proved me wrong. But I think just trust me, Paul. If A&M gets their shot, they're going to fool some people.
I mean, A&M played Alabama early in the year. They lost by, 28 points?
Yes. With three freshman cornerbacks that never played a game.
Okay.
Because they had cornerbacks opt out because of COVID.
Whose fault is that?
Their main linebacker because they opt out because of COVID. And Kellen Mond, we were in the game till halftime. Then we get a blocked punt. It just wasn't, I don't know how to explain it.
But by the way, isn't that the story like every year when Alabama plays A&M?
That's pretty good there, Paul. I like that. I don't know. I'm sorry. I listen to you every day. I watch you on ESPN, and I love you, Paul, but sometimes you're just – I'm not an Alabama believer. I don't know what else to say. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, listen, that's fair. I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you being a part of the program. And you don't have to be an Alabama believer, but you do have to accept facts. And since 2008, Alabama has been good enough to be ranked number one at some point in every single season. That is consistency. We will take a break, and we'll talk a little bit more about Alabama as they get ready for the Iron Bowl. Stephen M. Smith will join us in a minute. Former Alabama player Jackie Sherrill will join us later.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome to our program Stephen M. Smith. Welcome back from Touchdown, Alabama. Stephen M., it's always good to see you and great to have you on the program. So it's the week of the Iron Bowl. You've been high on the Tide since the first time we talked during the summer. Let's start with Mac Jones because you told us he was different, and that was before the public and the Heisman voters fell in love with him.
Absolutely. I mean, the young man has been battle-tested, Paul, his entire career. I remember him in the as a freshman in 2017 with the scout team out there throwing bombs. And, of course, Coach Saban told him, stop throwing the ball deep all the time. He looks at Coach Saban and says, well, Coach, tell your defense to check me then. So when you got a guy with that type of mouth and that type of confidence to even check his own coach, Nick Saban, then you know you got yourself a quarterback that can really, you know, do some special things. So I knew from Mac Jones as a freshman that he was poised for this moment, but it is awesome seeing the growth that he's made.
Talking to Stephen M. Smith. So, Stephen M., seems like every aspect of Alabama has gotten better. The one that has surprised some people is the defense, because after the Ole Miss game, I wasn't sure that Pete Golding should be buying green bananas. But what's happened on that side of the ball?
Well, the main thing, Paul, is Coach Saban and Pete Golding have done a great job simplifying things. A lot of times players think too much. You think about my job, and is my teammate doing his job? Is the guy in front of me, the guy behind me, the guy next to me doing their job? And when you're thinking about so many things instead of what your job is and training your eyes to be disciplined, then that's where a lot of confusion comes in. So Nick Saban has always been one to say, do your job and the rest will take care of itself. So he and Golding have done a great job of simplifying the game plan. Players have done their job. You're seeing more pressure on defense, guys stopping the run better, more turnovers created. And the big thing here, Paul, is since the Ole Miss game, you've looked at 11 shutout quarters of football from Alabama, including a complete game shutout of Mississippi State, and the team is getting off the field on third down. So a better job of simplifying the game plan and players, you know, being concerned about doing their job correctly.
It's interesting, you know, we haven't really heard much in the aftermath of Jason Waddle. When he went down, some of the pundits, I remember somebody on ESPN said Alabama was done. They had no chance of winning the national championship. How has that been dealt with on the team? Because it doesn't seem like, and I realize Alabama hasn't played a top five team yet, but they will. It seems like they've done quite well without him.
I remember a conversation I had with John Metchie, Paul, about, you know, how do you fill a void left behind by Waddle? He's a one-of-one type player, a very explosive guy. When he got hurt against the Volunteers, you heard Coach Saban say, you know, I hurt for college football. Not the fact that Saban hurts for Alabama, I'm sure he pretty much does, but he hurts for college football due to people enjoyed seeing Jalen Waddle on the field. He's fast. He's lightning in a bottle. He's fun. He's energetic. He's explosive. He's highly entertaining. But Alabama has found ways to work around this. You've seen Slade Bolden return punts and be on kickoffs. Of course, he got a twisted ankle against Kentucky. Alabama's been monitoring him all week in practice. He should be able to go this week, but we'll see what happens. We have seen Devontae Smith return punts against Kentucky. Patrick Surtain II has also filled in that role a little bit. So Saban has put in different guys in that special teams role to try to, you know, fill that void, but it's worked out for the most part, but it is difficult trying to find that guy that can do, you know, what Jalen Waddle does.
Stephen M., you've covered Alabama football for years, and, you know, this team just looks like it has separated itself from a lot of other clubs. How would you describe the impact of this team so far? Because, I mean, I thought Alabama would be good, but this team, to me, at least right now, has exceeded expectations.
First off, Paul, you got to go with the continuity of the coaching staff. I mean, for the longest of time, it was Saban would lose 3 to 4 coaches to this job and 4 to 5 coaches to that job, and coaches leaving, and, you know, the fans would wonder, you know, what is going on? Do these coaches not like to work with Coach Saban? Do they not like to be at Alabama? What's going on with all of these, you know, movements here on the coaching staff? And for the first time in a while, you know, Saban's kept the majority of the coaches on staff. You keep Steve Sarkisian. That's huge for your offense. And you've seen the balance of that offense, run game and pass game. You kept Kyle Flood. That's big for your offensive line. You've kept Charles Huff, and you kept Pete Golden and Sal Sanceri and Carl Scott. You've kept so many guys on your coaching staff to help mold and develop these young players. And when you can keep familiar faces, that helps the transition just go very smoothly. So I feel like the biggest thing here, Paul, as to why I guess Alabama has exceeded these expectations is Coach Saban has been able to keep guys on staff in terms of assistant coaches for the first time in a while.
Well, that is such a great point, because I really think it has hurt him badly, especially a couple of years ago when they lost to Clemson. You know, it just seemed like that coaching staff was, as you know, in disarray by the time we got to the final game. As we look ahead to these next couple of weeks, let's talk about Auburn for a second, because you and I both know the importance of this game. Alabama's a huge favorite. What should Alabama be concerned about the most in playing Auburn this weekend in Tuscaloosa?
The biggest thing is the eye discipline up front, Paul. Gus Malzahn does a great job of shifts, motions, movement, eye candy things pre-snap, and then upon the snap of the ball, it's going to be a dive play, a counter play, a jet sweep with Anthony Schwartz, who is extremely fast and one of the fastest players in college football. So for Alabama up front, that defensive line and those linebackers, primarily the inside linebackers, Dylan Moses and Christian Harris, the eye discipline, watch the ball, control the flow of the football, fit those run gaps, create penetration up front to see how can you be able to stop the attack of Tank Bigsby. Should he play? The true freshman at running back has been outstanding this year. You know, Auburn's got other guys. DJ Williams has got power. Sean Shivers has got a ton of speed, great shiftiness, the ability to bounce off tacklers, kind of a pinball type of guy. So for Alabama's defensive front, the eye discipline, hitting your keys, reading your keys, fitting those gaps, making plays, and then being able to set that edge on a Bo Nix that when he breaks contain of the pocket, he's got some Johnny Manziel to him where he can make some plays. So keeping the eyes on the edge and not allowing Bo Nix to break outside of the pocket, the two biggest things for Alabama this week.
Always a great analysis. Fantastic stuff from Stephen M. Smith. Stephen, you and your family have a great Thanksgiving. Come back soon.
Absolutely, Paul. Appreciate you.
Always great to see you. The man brings some energy, doesn't he? Let's take a break. More to come, including Jackie Sherrill in the final hour. We have 90 minutes to go, and your phone calls are right around the corner.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back. Great to have you here. Jackie Sherrill joining us in about 30 minutes. You will not want to miss that. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Augie in New Orleans. Hey, Augie.
Hey, Paul. The New Yorkers taking it easy on you today?
Yeah, a little bit better than yesterday.
But the Arkansas fans are really still riled up about the SEC refs.
They're demanding a coup d'etat.
You know, I'm not one to make excuses for LSU. You know that. When they suck, I call them out on it. And, I mean, we didn't play our best game Saturday against the Hogs, but we bumbled our way through well enough to win. And I don't think Arkansas really has much to complain about. They should have won that game. But your caller not so long ago, your A&M caller, man, that guy makes Matt from San Antonio look like a rational fan. I mean, not wanting to give Alabama their due. I mean, I'm the president of the Bama Football Haters Club, but, I mean, to say they're overhyped has got to be absolutely crazy. But, Paul, one of the best interviews you had lately, that interview with John Adams was really something. It was jaw-dropping. I mean, he basically said the villagers are in Knoxville, they've lit the torches and they're marching through the forest. I mean, he just eviscerated Pruitt's intelligence, I thought. He harped on his ability to communicate. I mean, he was just tearing the guy apart. It's like Pruitt can't speak well. It wasn't that he was criticizing Pruitt's messaging or his ability to express himself. He just basically came out and said the guy can't speak. And, I mean, it sounds like they're ready for an absolute coup there in Knoxville. And I've noticed over time you've lost your patience with him too. And I think that's a big change of position from the beginning of the season where we were going to spot everybody sort of a mulligan for this year.
No, and he caught a really bad break by not having the Vanderbilt game this weekend, because at least, you know, maybe you can do something right and calm folks down a smidge. But, you know, I think Pruitt, you know, off the field, his biggest weakness is communications, and he has not improved one iota since the first time he was introduced, and that's a big negative, even if things were going well. But I will say, and I've known John Adams since I was covering LSU football in northern Louisiana, and he was in Baton Rouge, and I couldn't speak during that interview. I knew he would be skeptical of Pruitt's future, but I didn't expect him to burn down the building. Did you?
Wow. Not only did he burn down the building, he burned down like half a city block. It was like that incident in Philadelphia. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Good in that move character where they dropped a bomb on him.
Right.
That's what he did. And I mean, I could tell from day one, Pruitt was not a good public speaker, because every time he mentions something, he has the sound, it's like a Tibetan monk chanting in the background. But, I mean, geez, I remember John Adams from Baton Rouge, and he absolutely tore Pruitt apart. But one of the things you were mentioning is that, and it's about the fifth or sixth time you've done it, where people have complained about Pruitt, and you get on the history of, well, Pruitt was in our first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. He was like our seventh or eighth pick. And, you know, that's not too dissimilar from what happened in Baton Rouge, if you can remember. They didn't want Ed Ogeron. They wanted Jimbo. Then they wanted Tom Herman.
Right.
And other names were floating, and it's basically we settled on Ogeron. And so sometimes settling is good. Sometimes it's not so good. I'm not so sure what it is in Baton Rouge, because this year has been a disaster for us, and he's got next year, and he better produce. So no more mulligans for Ogeron. Anyway, thanks, Paul.
Hey, great to have you on. Dwayne is up. I tell you, let me go to Chuck first and then Dwayne. Chuck is in Ohio. Hey, Chuck.
Yes.
You are on the air, Chuck. Yes, you are.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Number one, let me start off by saying I'm a diehard Ohio State fan. However, I will give respect to Alabama. They are head and shoulders above everybody else. And I just don't understand some of the callers that are actually coming on your show tonight just bashing Ohio State, talking about we don't play anybody, and then talking about Indiana, how they're not much better than Vanderbilt. Hey, the schedule is the schedule, and one, I want to give you props for not necessarily defending us, but bringing up the important points that we had Oregon on the schedule. We don't duck anybody. We play Oklahoma. I've always dreamed of playing Alabama during the regular season at some point, just the matchup of the century, from what I would think. But again, some of the callers need to back off because on Ohio State, because the schedule is a schedule. There's a lot of football to be played still. And at the end of the day, I think Ohio State will still be one of those top four teams, and they'll come out and they'll play anybody else. We had two problems coming into the season, or two question marks, running backs and defensive backs. You lost three first-round picks in the secondary. You had a second-round pick at running back. So they're trying to figure it out. They got the running back situation looks like resolved. They still got work to do in the secondary. Hopefully there's talk this week about moving Sean Wade back to his normal position on the inside slot. So hopefully they'll get the things figured out on the defense, and they'll play a little bit better as it's coming down the stretch. But if you want to count Ohio State out, please go ahead and do that. Did it in 2015, and they finished out just pretty strong. So I'll hang up, Paul, and thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah,
I appreciate you.
I don't know if we'll ever see that Ohio State-Alabama game. We did see it in 1986. They played in the now-defunct Kickoff Classic. I believe it was up in New Jersey, and Alabama won the game. I do not think they played since in the regular season, but it's hard to find a better matchup. Hey, thank you for the call. Dwayne is also in Ohio, in Toledo. Hey, Dwayne.
Yes, sir, Mr. Finnebum. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, we listen to you all the time here in Toledo, Ohio, and I just wonder how you feel what Notre Dame's chances are. In the playoff system, how do you feel how good the team is? And I think Brian Kelly's one of the best coaches that we've had in a long time. And, you know, I got tired of wearing black armbands, so this was the first time I think that we're, maybe back in the hunt again. And I just wonder what your thoughts on that was.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I've come around more on a coach than Brian Kelly this year. And, you know, he used to drive me crazy. Not so much for his coaching, but some of his antics. And I finally calmed down, and we had him on during the season, and he couldn't have been more gracious. And I've secretly, because I don't want anyone to know this, become a big Brian Kelly fan. I think Notre Dame is in great shape. They do need to be careful this week at North Carolina. I think that is.
I agree. I agree 100%. I think that's going to be a dogfight, and that's really going to test us. You know, we're Notre Dame fans because, my dad was a World War II Marine in 1944. Frank Leahy came to my grandparents' house and gave my dad 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But unfortunately, the war took him to the Pacific. He was a Marine, and that's why we have our love for Notre Dame. I grew up on the south side of Toledo, which is Polish town, and you had the picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Pope, and Eric Arcegian. I mean, that's how it was.
Hey, so, help me with my Dwayne. Help me with my geography. Isn't Toledo also a Michigan town?
When I was a kid growing up, it was probably you could slice it with a pie. A quarter for Michigan, a little more for Ohio State, and then a little less than half for Notre Dame. Now, truthfully, today it's probably better than half to three quarters for Ohio State.
Right.
And
well, by the way, it would be hard to find Michigan, any town that's all in on Michigan these days, including Ann Arbor.
Yes. Michigan's about Ann Arbor from here is about 35 miles away.
Okay.
Columbus is 2 hours or so.
Yeah, I thought it was. I had a friend that's from Toledo, and I thought she told me that she grew up a. Michigan fan. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. I mentioned Jackie Sherrill coming up here in a few minutes, the legendary coach who was at Pitt, too, by the way. Had some amazingly great teams at Pitt, some of the best teams of that era. He was at A&M in the 80s and, of course, Mississippi State. And he will be with us in just a few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
And it's been a rough day for football. I mentioned UAB and Southern Miss. That game was supposed to be Friday at Legion Field. Last game ever there. Now Tulsa has postponed the game with Houston. Between Houston and Tulsa, it seems like every game has been canceled this year. Or at least it seems that way. Meanwhile, as I'm saying that, there's another story breaking. Minnesota at Wisconsin – this weekend, according to our friend Jeff Portrisk, is off as well. I've lost count because I think there were seven or eight now, and the record's 18 set last week. And I think one of our guests made a very salient point earlier that Wednesday is the key day. You start getting more testing back. We have one SEC game down, as we told you yesterday. So already the Thanksgiving weekend is looking grim with college football cancellations. At this point, they are cancellations in the Big Ten or the Pac-12. The SEC still has a little bit of wiggle room on that final game, final weekend. Let's get to the calls. And Jeremy is in Arizona, and you are on the air. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Yeah. So we kind of got away from this guy from A&M calling in wanting to bet his Burger King paycheck on Alabama beating, or A&M beating Alabama. So talk to Augie. He's on the...
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I don't recommend anyone betting their paycheck on a football game.
What's that?
I'm not a big believer in betting your paycheck on a football game. Are you?
Yeah. I'm just kidding. I just think that some of these guys that call in need to be able to access ID talent effectively. I'm with Augie, and I'm no Alabama fan. I spent the last 9 years in Jackson, Tennessee, and everybody in Tennessee seems to be an Alabama fan. But I think you've got to be able to ID talent. And you have to admit, Paul, that Mac Jones looks different this year than he did last year.
He does.
He's throwing with confidence. He's throwing on time. He's putting the ball in places that a lot of people can't put it in, and making Alabama look like a team that even Tua didn't make them look like.
No, and, listen, let's give credit where it's due. And I thought Stephen M. Smith made one of the best points I've heard all year when he said this coaching staff has been stable. And how important was that decision back in the wintertime that Steve Sarkisian turned down a head coaching position at Colorado to remain at Alabama?
Yeah. So, again, I just wanted to also, I heard Dwayne talking about his father being in the service. I wanted to give props and thank Dwayne kind of through Dad's sacrifice he gave to America. And it seemed like Dwayne was very proud to talk about his dad being in the war, so.
Well, I tell you what,
he was a Dwayne's father.
He said he was in the Pacific.
Thanks for your time on the air.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that got to me as well. My dad was in the served in the Army in the Philippines during World War II, and they may the Army and the Marines may quibble a little bit, but they both saved a lot of lives and made this world a significantly safer place. We are heading to the break. And again, a couple more cancellations. Wisconsin being out, that may put them under the number for the Big Ten championship game. Not that it matters now after losing to Northwestern. It looks like the Wildcats have an inside straight there. But we're an hour and change away from the college football rankings. You know, Aggie fans are excited about where they'll end up. Alabama will be number one. And we are coming back with a legendary coach who knows about playing for titles. Jackie Sherrill is up next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.